You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, folks, it is time for the main event, our featured guest of the evening. This Saturday night, August 13th, we're live, red hot and rolling. This is the Political Cesspool. I'm James Edwards. Our guest tonight, a good friend of mine, a great all-around guy. If America had an aristocracy, he would be a member of it. A modern-day Robert E. Lee himself. Jared Taylor is the editor of American Renaissance and the author of several books, including White Identity, Racial Consciousness in the 21st Century. He's one of our favorite and most frequent guests now, going back 12 years. Jared, welcome.
Thank you, James, but you're treading on holy ground there, raising the name of General Lee. That's going too far, my friend, but I'm very flattered.
Well, I mean it as a compliment, and it is certainly due. I will admit I skirted on blasphemy there, but I don't think we crossed any lines.
All right. Well, it's a pleasure to be on. Thank you so much.
Well, entirely our pleasure, as it always is. And Jared, I will let you know, and of course we were talking about this yesterday, you are our first post-Twitter guest. So, again, making history on this very program.
Well, yes, welcome to the Twitterverse, as I believe they call it. I'm sure you will collect many followers very rapidly. I'm certainly one of yours now, and I'm looking forward to seeing your tweets.
Well, if we're good enough for Jared Taylor, we should be good enough for anyone, and I appreciate you giving us that follow. And yeah, there's two ways you could look at it. Either we're the last ones to arrive at the party, or we're just fashionably late. I'll let everyone decide that. But it's interesting to be there, and it's gone very well so far. But let's get down to brass tacks. The reason you're here tonight, we could exchange pleasantries all evening, and that would probably make for good radio, but I'm afraid work must intrude here. You wrote an outstanding article that really tickled my fancy, particularly when you consider, I guess, really the mutual relationship that we share with the press. Trump has really gotten a dose of it, what we've been experiencing for years. You wrote it for Amren.com, and I want everybody to go to that website and make it one of their daily reads. Amren.com, Trump and the Atmosphere of Hate, your most recent article featured there tonight, Jared. Break it down for us.
Well, it's a remarkable thing. I'm sure all of your listeners are aware of the comment that Donald Trump made about the Second Amendment. He was talking about if Hillary gets to appoint the judges, and he said something to the effect that, well, let's see, if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, well, maybe there is, I don't know. That's what he said. Now, when I heard that played on the radio with some sort of big buildup as to how, oh, Donald Trump stuck his foot in his mouth again, I couldn't figure out what the shouting was about. It seemed to me saying, okay, if she appoints judges, then maybe the Second Amendment people can organize to block judges who block the Senate's confirmation of judges that might be willing to take our guns away. That's certainly the way I interpreted it. But, boy, not the press, not the press. Everybody is now shrieking about how he's saying, okay, all you gun owners, you can go out and shoot Hillary or shoot Hillary's the judges that Hillary appoints. Golly, I don't think he meant it that way. It's just astonishing. But this is the kind of hysterical fury that has been directed against Trump. And in a way, to get to the punchline, after commentator after commentator and so-called journalist after so-called journalist, and I call them so-called because journalism is supposed to be a profession that involves a certain amount of objectivity, but they have completely ditched any kind of objectivity. They don't care that Donald Trump says he was talking about Second Amendment supporters organizing to block the appointment of judges that want to take their guns away. No! They say they know better than he does. He wants people out there shooting her judge appointees or Hillary herself. This is outrageous. And after all of these people have called him a fascist, a threat to democracy, if ever there was an atmosphere of hate, which is one of those phrases that the left just loves, if there was ever an atmosphere for hate stirred up by those people against one man, it is against Donald Trump. To me, if they're worried about the health of candidates, they should be worried about the health of Donald Trump after all of this hatred they've directed towards him. To me, it's almost like a call for an assassination attempt.
Well, that is the opening salvo and what promises, ladies and gentlemen, to be a riveting hour of talk radio here on the Political Cesspool tonight with Jared Taylor. You have to read this piece if you've not already done so. Amren.com, Trump and the Atmosphere of Hate, is the most recent featured article there, written by the editor himself, Jared Taylor. Jared, that's just beginning to unpack this piece, and needless to say, I couldn't agree with you more. Really, what this election is shaping up as is a contest between, in one corner, the support groups of the regime and the elites, and of course, all of the lapdogs in the media, versus predominantly working class, middle class, predominantly churchgoers, but certainly a lot of people who are just down home, populist, economic nationalist types. And those are where I think that's the Rubicon. I think those are the battle lines to put it simply and perhaps a little over simply, but that's what we've got. And no doubt about it, the press, we've talked about this, really our discussion and treatment of the press has dominated a lot of this radio program this year. Number one, we're always in the press each week and we fire back on Saturday nights. But truly this campaign, if there was ever any illusion that the press didn't have an agenda, the establishment media was objective, that surely has been shattered to anyone who wasn't already in the know. And I think to a large part, your article highlights that fact. Am I right?
Well, there are even a few so-called journalists, I call them now, who are aware of this. A fellow named Jim Ruttenberg has written in the New York Times. He says, if you're a working journalist and you believe that Donald J. Trump is a demagogue playing to the nation's worst racist and nationalistic tendencies, that he cozies up to anti-American dictators, and that he would be dangerous for control of the United States nuclear codes, how the heck are you supposed to cover him? Because if you believe all those things, you have to throw out the textbook American journalism has been using for the better part of a half century. In other words, you throw out the textbook of any kind of objectivity. In other words, you take sides. I mean, this is astonishing. But here's a guy who is only putting in words what the mass media from coast to coast has been doing from square one about him. I have never seen such a concentration of hatred and venom directed by the media against one American in my entire life. And I remember when, at the height of the Nixon scandal, that was in the early 70s, it never came anywhere near this, and I thought that was a stop.
Well, we're going to pause right there, our first commercial break of the last hour, and I want to pick up with that compare and contrast of what Nixon received. And we may mention that, I think Keith Alexander made mention of that even earlier in tonight's broadcast, but I really want to pick up with that and Jim Ruttenberg. I've got a story that's going to knock your socks off, folks. Jared, I haven't even shared this with you, but we will when we come back.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
It's great to have Jared Taylor back with us tonight, the editor of American Renaissance, AmRen.com. That's the website where you'll find his most recent featured piece, Trump and the Atmosphere of Hate. And it really deals with, in a nutshell, the media's treatment of Trump and his campaign over the course of the last year. Picking up where we left off in the last segment, Jared, I want to reread your first couple of paragraphs in this piece, and this is what you write. The liberal media hate, despise, and fear Donald Trump. Never in my lifetime have I seen such an outpouring of malice for one man. Not even the height of the Nixon impeachment crisis saw such vindictive passion. The press has lost any pretense of objectivity, and even a few so-called journalists recognize this. And let me just make a quick departure, if I could. There is a difference between reporters and journalists versus commentators. Commentators are expected to deliver their opinions. Reporters, journalists are supposed to, at least in the classical sense, report the who, what, where, when, and why to the best of their ability and let their reader or viewer draw their own conclusions. But to get back to your piece, after we've made that distinction, you write that Jim Ruttenberg writes in the New York Times, quote, and you just made this quote, but I'd like to reread it for a purpose. If you're a working journalist and you believe that Donald J. Trump is a demagogue playing to the nation's worst racist and nationalistic tendencies, that he cozies up to anti-American dictators, and that he would be dangerous with the control of the United States nuclear codes, how the heck are you supposed to cover them? Because if you believe, Rutenberg concludes, of all those things, you have to throw out the textbook American journalism has been using for the better part of the past half century, and then you fill in the blanks, Jared. In other words, you take sides. Now, that's Jim Ruttenberg writing for the New York Times. And basically, correct me if I'm wrong, Jared, Jim Ruttenberg is basically saying, you know what, people like him are the good guys. They're the honest, Johnny-on-the-spot journalist. They're just out there to tell the truth. But Trump has come on, and he's just so evil, they have to bend the rules and really let their opinions and biases come. Is that basically what you read in his piece there?
Yes, that's exactly what he's saying. He says You got to throw out everything you learned in journalism school. This idea of objectivity just doesn't count anymore because Donald Trump is so evil and he will do so much damage that we have to stop him any way we possibly can. And so every article about him is not a news story, it's an editorial. He's admitting that.
But he's also basically positioning himself as just the honest, do-gooder reporter who's out there just, he's just a truth teller, basically. I mean, that's how he sees himself, or at least how he wants you to see him, right?
No, I don't think so. He's saying, I'm not simply going to give you the who, what, where, when, and how, as you explained. I am going to throw my commentary into it, start to finish.
No, I agree, but he's positioning himself as doing that. No, he is admitting that, obviously.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is he's positioning himself as somebody that's doing a good service because it has to be done. Is that
that's
would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
These guys think they are far better than the rest of us. They know better, and they know so much better, and Donald Trump is so evil, and anybody who supports him is so evil that you are just going to throw out all the rules and you're going to take sides and you're just going to pummel Donald Trump every chance you get. That's what he's telling us. This is astonishing. It's contemptible. It's not journalism anymore.
All right, let me fill in the blanks while we're spending so much time on this little piece from Jim Ruttenberg of the New York Times. This is why I set the stage as I have in this segment. I still have Jim Ruttenberg's number in my telephone. He may not remember me, but I sure remember him. And Jared, even after all these years, I've never shared this story with you. One day when it's all said and done, I'm going to write an autobiography on my time in radio. And it's going to be filled with stories like this. I don't think I've ever shared this story even on the air before. But 8 years ago, when around this time, actually, when Obama was running against John McCain, Jim Ruttenberg contacted me. And he wanted to do a featured piece for the New York Times. This is just to go to show what kind of people you're dealing with here. He wanted to do a featured piece, and he did do a featured piece in the New York Times on how different people from different segments of the population viewed the idea of a potential Obama administration, with him being, of course, the first black president. And so of all the people, he identified me as the subject he wanted to use for the pro-white's viewpoint, or the pro-white response to a potential Obama presidency. And this goes above and beyond the typical interviews you do where you just talk to him on the phone and the story comes out. No, he flew, or the New York Times flew him, Jim Ruttenberg, from New York to Memphis. He spent 2 or 3 days here. They had a camera crew, and you've been a part of these featured stories too, Jared, where they send the people to your location for a newspaper story. They interview you extensively. It lasts a couple of days. They send a camera crew. I remember going to the radio station with the camera crew for the New York Times. We did all the pictures. It was going to be a big spread. And he left. And I thought I just did a fantastic job of really breaking down our positions. And so I waited for the story to come out. And sure enough, the story came out a few weeks later. But I wasn't in it at all. No, I had been replaced. Apparently, perhaps I was too clever by half. The guy who they eventually got to do the pro-white viewpoint that I was slated for was an inmate in prison. So pay attention to me, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Ruttenberg of the New York Times, who Jared is mentioning in this piece, this honest do-gooder who just wants to present things and he's doing good, and even though he's kind of bending the rules, he's just out there doing it for the right reasons. No, he came down. We interviewed. I thought I did a great job of breaking down the positions or the reactions that realists would have. Completely cut, and the guy that they ended up putting in that place was an inmate in a penitentiary in another state. So, Jared, that's what we're up against, and that's what Trump's up against. These people have no scruples and no qualms about being just absolutely dishonest, and if they do find people who can articulate the case, they get cut out or just completely maligned into oblivion. And you've been on all sides of this, too. I'm not telling you anything, but that was a particular incident I had with Jim Ruttenberg, and I thought that was worth sharing tonight in light of your piece.
Yes, that's very interesting. No, that's not too surprising. I remember you telling another story about having spent, 8 hours being filmed by a crew, and they used 32 seconds of it or something like that?
That's right.
You see, they come by expecting you to say all sorts of, all kinds of print-worthy, horrifying things, but then instead you say all sorts of very intelligent, insightful things. And they can't have that, so they spend all this time hoping you're going to say something that's going to step on your tongue and make you look bad. And since they can't find something like that, they can't write off the entire trip, so they'll throw in 20 seconds of something innocuous. It's really a contemptible way they behave. But I think this for having Ruttenberg actually confess to this, to actually talk about that, I think is remarkable. In a way, it's also, I think, as I mentioned also in this piece, the Huffington Post now, after every single article they write about Donald Trump, they have a little note from the editor, and it says, Donald Trump regularly incites political violence, is a serial liar, rampant xenophobe, racist, misogynist, and birther, who has repeatedly pledged to ban all Muslims, 1.6 billion members of an entire religion, from entering the U.S. They put that at the end of every news story about Donald Trump. But at least they're being honest about it. They're saying, we hate this guy. We absolutely hate this guy. And we hope you hate him, too. I mean, there's just no pretense of any kind of objectivity left.
Well, we will pause right there. I felt I spent a little bit too much time breaking down the Jim Ruttenberg story, especially when we have a guest of Jared's caliber on. But I thought it was worth mentioning in light of this piece. When we come back, we're going to hear a lot more of Jared's take on this as we continue to unpack his excellent article featured at Amran.com tonight. Trump and his association with the media, or the way the media is treating his campaign. Hours worth of radio in that one. But we'll give it another segment right after this.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Amid their country's ever-deepening economic disaster, Venezuelans who have the means to travel abroad will do so in search of food. As a government employee, Jose Lara is among the most fortunate citizens of his country, enjoying both relative job security and vacation time. But the privileges of his position haven't protected his family from the catastrophic food shortages that result from the economic policies of the government that employs him. For this reason, he spent some of his vacation days recently to make a frantic 36-hour round trip to Brazil in search of groceries that aren't available at home. "Workers can't even enjoy vacation anymore," Lara complained to Reuters. "Look where I am, buying food for my children." Lara bundled 66-pound bags of rice and flour into the bus in anticipation of an 18-hour drive back to his suffering homeland. Reuters reports that Venezuelans seeking to escape their socialist economy's dysfunction are flooding into the remote Brazilian town of Pacaraima in search of basic goods that are prohibitively expensive or only available after hours in line. Dr. Thomas Woods points out that Venezuela now ranks 176th out of 178 countries surveyed by the Economic Freedom of the World Index.
If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, for commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin MacDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, we are with the incomparable and hopefully for our sake, the immortal Jared Taylor. Because unless something changes in this country and changes the trajectory pretty fast, we are going to have to start looking to alternative solutions. And that is a reality that no one wants to realize, even if it's fleeing this country for perhaps a place in Europe that will have a nationalist uprising and regain its senses. But we're talking about Jared Taylor's piece, Trump and the Atmosphere of Hate. Of course, Jared, to say the least, the media, which speaks with one voice, is a formidable opponent and an adversary. And especially now in this age in which pathological altruism has afflicted so many of our people. I made mention of this a couple of weeks ago. We make mention of it semi-regularly, but all people on Earth need a few things to survive. They need shelter. They need food. They need water. Unfortunately, for our sakes, whites need one more thing. They need status. And this psychological warfare that the media puts out there with its incessant 24 hours, radio, television, every media platform they have, Trump is bad. If you vote for him, you are not in with the in crowd. You're not in with Hollywood. You're not in with the elite. You're not in with the establishment. You're evil. You're backwards. You're wrong. And I certainly that has an effect. That has an effect. Thankfully, there are still so many people, out there that have not been perverted by this sickness, that Trump is still competing. But that's not to say that the media has not done everything it can and then some. We've seen tricks this year. Jared, we've been around me more than a decade, you much longer than that. We've seen a lot from the media, but they've really outdone themselves this year in their treatment of the Trump campaign. And so I guess the question I'm getting to is it going to be enough? Will they be able to do enough to propel Hillary, a criminally corrupt career politician in the age of the anti-establishment outsider, or the year of the anti-establishment outsider, will they be able to do enough to put her in the White House?
That's what we're all worried about. They are certainly doing their best. When it comes to this attempt to slur Donald Trump, one aspect of it that really strikes me is the incredible contempt that it shows for the people who support him. As you say, they're saying, if you don't vote for Hillary, you're not with the cool people. But they go a whole lot further than that. Not only if you don't vote for Hillary, you're not cool. If you vote for Donald Trump, then, at the very least, you're a bigot and a racist. And it may be that you're not quite mentally stable. I mean, I have seen, I don't know how many articles talking about how Donald Trump appeals to the segment of the population that is drifting off into unreality. Or there is this New Yorker author who writes about how if you are a Donald Trump supporter, then you suffer from some kind of, he says, I like to call it usurpation anxiety syndrome. He's got a name for it. People who actually like the United States and don't want to give it away to foreigners. We suffer from some sort of mental illness. And so, yes, not only is there a very much a political angle to this, but there's a kind of a snobbishness. We know better. All you ignoramus rubes out there, all you ordinary Americans, and at the same time, it's directed towards white people because his supporters are overwhelmingly white. You ignoramus white people, we know so much better than you that if you support this guy who we tell you not to support, you are really loathsome, inferior creatures. So it is a kind of combined contempt for America, a contempt for Americans that just takes my breath away.
Well, and that's exactly where we're at, and it is only going to get more ferocious as we get closer to November. And I made mention of it earlier in the program tonight, how uncanny it is that we're sitting here now, Jared, August 13th. The election is coming up fast. The election is coming up fast, and I want to transition in the last segment we have after the next commercial break, our last segment of the night, and certainly our last segment with you for the evening, and talk a little bit more about what's to come, at least if you could look into your oracle and share with us what you see. But we have a caller. We don't take a lot of calls on this show. We're a weekly show, but we do. We have some people trying to get on for you, Jared, and we have Chris in Alaska with a question. Chris, take it away.
Hey, it's actually Chris from Canada.
Oh, Chris from Canada. Okay, Chris from Canada. My apologies. Your question or comment for Jared Taylor.
Yeah, well, I called in the past, and I played devil's advocate for Donald Trump. I'm going to get a little bit more focused on you guys realizing the truth. He is a paid player in the game. He is out for himself. He is the bird, a wing of the bird of the same group that is causing us harm as a people, as nations.
Well, I would have to.
Hillary
disagree.
Clinton is the devil incarnate, and he's hanging out with her guys. I don't know why you're supporting this man.
All right,
supporting none of them. They're all players. They wouldn't be there unless they were selected.
All right, let's
no different.
I think we got
her.
Your.
He might be a little bit more gentle, but if you want to take the lesser of two evils, well, we've done that for a long time, and it hasn't worked really well for us, has it?
All right, Chris, we appreciate your call. I think we've got the gist of what you're calling about. Certainly, Jared, as I've said before in the past, this is the first Republican nominee I've voted for. I've been voting since 2002. No, 1998, actually. So this is the first Republican candidate I've ever voted for in the general election. Chris is certainly, I guess, in the minority of my audience and probably of your readership as well. But is there anything of that you fear? Certainly the lesser of two evils argument could have been used in any of the previous election cycles. I don't really buy into it in this one, but let's give it a fair hearing. Your response. Are you with us, Jared? Jared, are you still with us? Well, we will work to get Jared back. We might have dumped him by accident on that with that last caller, and so our producer is going to reach back out to Jared. Again, though, I know Chris is sincere, and that's a sincere phone call, and certainly you have to, I think, in a way, question the fact if what we've been saying for years, there's vote scam, there's vote fraud. There's all of that other stuff. It's worth a hearing, but Jared, I know you're back now. Your response to that last caller.
Well, I think he's certainly not being paid to do this. He's got all the money he needs, and I think that he has not been selected either. It's precisely because he is not one of the vetted and selected and approved and anointed candidates that the press is so furious at him. So I disagree entirely on those two points. Furthermore, I believe that instinctively he is basically a white American who thinks that the country has jumped the tracks and he wants to set it back on the tracks. He's not really a racial nationalist the way we are, but he has an instinctive sense that things have gone wrong and some of his ideas about setting them right are absolutely 100% correct. So I don't think that this is another time when we have Tweedledee or Tweedledum. We have a real difference, and if Trump is elected, and if he changes the country in the ways that I think he would be capable of doing it, I think that would be a major milestone in American history.
There's no doubt about that. I agree with that. You said it better than I could and better than what I was attempting at. But let me ask you this. For all of these people who consider themselves to be conservatives, and in a way, I still do. I'm so hesitant to give up words, maybe at least a paleoconservative in the mold of a Sam Francis or a Pat Buchanan. But all of these people in the conservative establishment, and I'm not even talking about totally fake conservatives like Bill Kristol, Ed Al, but those that are opposing Trump from the right that would give Hillary the next two or three Supreme Court nominations. What's driving that, Jared?
That's a great question. I think that at a very, very fundamental level, many people who call themselves conservatives have completely given up the fight when it comes to race and nation. And so they are just as angry and embarrassed about a guy who talks about looking very hard at any Muslim who wants to immigrate to the United States. They are just as angry and embarrassed about that as somebody like Hillary Clinton. So, to me, the choice is whether or not they accept Hillary Clinton's Supreme Court appointments or they can support a candidate who embarrasses them.
That is an excellent breakdown, one of the best succinct breakdowns I've heard on that particular question, which so many of us have been pondering for months now, because it's going to come down to that. Do you want Hillary to have the Supreme Court? If for no other reason, you should vote for Trump for that. But we got one more segment. We're going to have a freestyle segment right after this.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, one last segment with the great Jared Taylor, Amren.com. Read his piece, Trump and the Atmosphere of Hate. Jared, before the last break, we were talking about these people who claim to be conservatives who have done everything they can. Now, any other election cycle, these very same people would be saying, hey, folks, don't worry about convictions. We got to keep the Democrats out of the White House. That's why it's important to vote for Romney, McCain, Bush. But no, they're not saying that this year. This year, when they absolutely should be saying that, they're not. And they are either going to, I guess, not vote at all or vote for Hillary and then give what should have been the branch of government with the least amount of power and no executive or legislative privilege, the Supreme Court, that has now become the dominant branch of government. They're going to give that to Hillary, and then that will, I think, Jared, end our ability to reform this system through the mechanisms we've had going back to the founding of this nation.
Well, I share your fears in that respect. If we have 4 years of Hillary, if we have, heaven help us, 8 years of Hillary, that will pack the Supreme Court with people like Elena Kagan or Sonia Sotomayor. Those people don't give a hoot about the United States as a historical nation. They certainly don't give a hoot about the Constitution. They care about making this country over in terms of a kind of a third world socialist state. And they will never rest until it happens if they've got the chance. So this is really, I think, it's an astonishing capitulation on the part of these so-called conservatives. But there's another aspect of the assault on Trump that I think is worth talking about, and that is the astonishing number of his critics who say that he is a threat to democracy. Well, now hold on. He is the Republican nominee because the voters preferred him over the 15 or 16 other candidates that they had a chance to vote for. Isn't that exactly what democracy is all about? The people get to choose? But no, according to all of these people who hate him so viscerally they can't see straight anymore, if Donald Trump wins an election, that's a threat to democracy. Well, that is a commentary not on the nature of democracy. It's a commentary on the way they think about themselves and about us. What they're in effect saying is, if this guy who we don't like is selected by the people, that means the American experiment is about to run on the rocks. One writer for the New Yorker magazine put it in almost those terms. The American experiment could fail if he's elected because he's such a threat to democracy, etc. What they're saying is, you disagree with us, and that's a threat to democracy. I mean, how can they be so stupid as to realize that Donald Trump is not a threat to democracy? He's an expression of democracy. He's a threat to their threadbare, obviously false ideologies of egalitarianism and multiculti. That's what he's a threat to. But this breathtaking notion that somehow he is going to destroy democracy, where does that even come from? I don't understand it.
Well, it's really ironic when you take into account the shenanigans that Hillary put in play apparently during the Democratic primaries, right?
I'll say she and her pals in the DNC are rigging the game against her opponent, and it's Donald Trump who's a threat to democracy? It's just breathtaking, absolutely breathtaking. Do they think, now, if he were a real threat to democracy, presumably, if he did not win the election, he would take power anyway. Or if he were elected and then he lost a bid for re-election, he would not step down. I mean, nobody's ever, what are they imagining here? It's just incredible. And they say frequently the same things about the folks that they describe as the far right in Europe, that Jörg Haider, for example, or the Jean-Marie Le Pen. These people are threats to democracy. Well, all they're saying is, unless the people vote the way we tell them to vote, then democracy has gone wrong. What incredible arrogance. Do they not realize how incredibly arrogant they sound? You don't vote the way I vote, well, democracy's no good. That's called autocracy. Those people aren't interested in democracy at all. They want their ideas to rule no matter what.
Well, thankfully, we have this counterballast with Amrin and this network and a few others, and it is rising. I mean, things have changed this year, and we talked in the second hour. No matter what happens on November 8th, things have happened this year. There have been advancements made that are not going to be unmade, and that's good, and that's something that can be built upon. But there's no doubt it would be better if Trump wins. And in fact, Jared, we've been talking about your most recent article, but your most recent video should be discussed here briefly as well, what Trump must do to win. You wrote the prescription. Dr. Taylor, what is it?
What he needs to do is appeal without any hesitation to white voters. Only about two-thirds of eligible white voters go to the poll. He is not going to get really much of any kind of turnout among blacks or Hispanics or Asians or any of those people. He just doesn't worry about them. He doesn't go out, needn't go out of his way to antagonize them, but he should find every interest, everything that white voters generally agree on, and go after and appeal to them. And many of those things are not the typical things that the Republicans have pushed. Most white voters are perfectly happy to increase taxes on millionaires. They're perfectly happy to scrap these trade agreements. They're perfectly happy to do things. Well, they're even happier than you or I would probably be happy about, to accept homosexual marriage and all of these things. So what he should do is appeal to things that in some cases the Republicans have been against. That would be a much smarter way to unify the white vote. That's what he should think about. And as I say, no need to go out of his way to antagonize anybody else, but those are the only people that he should be concerned about. That's my view.
Well, I know there will be inevitably news articles written about Trump supporters. Edwards and Taylor had this racist rant on the radio. But if you think Jared's out in left field in the fact that Trump should appeal to the Republican base, basically, let's just put it that way. If he can't say white people, although I agree with Jared entirely, Dick Morris, and we've made mention of this before, Dick Morris said the exact same thing. The Republicans did this exhaustive, comprehensive postmortem trying to figure out why they lost with Romney. And of course, their conclusion was, well, it's because we didn't get more Latino votes or Hispanic votes or whatever they're calling them. Buchanan said, listen, hunt where the ducks are. Dick Morris himself said, hardly a staunch race realist, Morris said Romney lost because the Republican base, which is white voters, did not come out and support him. If Trump gets a few extra percentage points of the Republican base, it's worth many more times that in the minority community, and that's what he needs to do. That's the people most likely to be receptive to his message, Jared.
Yes, yes. And I think that it is possible if he crafts some good television advertising, if he mobilizes Ivanka a little bit more and his glamorous wife, I think that there are ways for him to get through to these white people who do not vote, get them off their duffs, because as you point out, a 1% increase in the white vote for Donald Trump is the equivalent of a 7% increase in Hispanic vote, because we are still the majority. And which is likely to be easier for Donald Trump to get? A 1% increase among whites? I think so. I think he could do it. I think he could get 3, 4, 5% more whites.
And that would tip it. And that would tip it even if you believe the polls, and he's down a couple of points right now, 4 to 7 points in most polls. You still got the debates. 100 million people are going to be watching those debates. A lot can happen. A lot will change. But, you know, interestingly, we were in this jam session together with Lana Lochtef and Red Ice a week or two ago, Jared, and you and I were discussing this point, too. The interesting thing is, if he loses, it will also be whites who voted for Hillary in large enough numbers to put her in. So either way you look at it, whites are going to decide this election.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yes. And those are the people he has to care about. This notion the Republicans have of somehow, if they tune their message, they're going to get Jose and Antonio to vote for him, Leroy. This is nuts. This is nuts. I don't know what kind of crazy food they must be eating that turns their brain into cheese like this.
Well, let me ask you this, because we only have a minute remaining. I know we'll have you back at least once or twice before Election Day, but polls are down right now. How do you see this playing out? I guess your prediction or opinion is as good as anyone else's. None of us have the crystal ball, but do you think it's going to tighten up before November?
I think it will tighten up before November. I think the debate or debates, I don't know how many they plan, could have a huge impact. Now, I think Hillary is entirely capable of just saying, nope, I'm not going to debate. I think she could do that. And I think, you know, whether she could get away with it, I don't know. But I think that she is terrified of having to face this man. When he takes that those gloves off, no telling how she's going to quake and quail. But
well, this
I
is the thing.
She,
well, I was just going to say, interject very quickly. Trump, too, will have to be careful with her being a woman. If he approaches her, if he speaks to her sternly, it'll be like the Rick Lazio thing where they basically accused him of molesting her for putting his hand on her shoulder. We have 5 seconds remaining, Jared. A final word. I'm sorry we ran out of time, but Amrin.com is the website. Final word, Jared, go.
Well, I think this is really the last chance corral here. If Hillary wins and she's in for 4 years, 8 years, I think we can kiss the country goodbye.
Folks, that's all the time we have tonight. Amrin.com. Jared, thank you, brother. We love you. We'll see you next time. Good night, everybody.